Hello, I'm Tom Caldwell. I'm chairman of Caldwell Securities based here in Toronto. So this is the time we peer into next year and we come up with our prognostications. In the past, I've been very fortunate, so I'm very lucky. So I hope my good luck and searing insights hold again for one more year. Anyway, let me do a quick review of 2023. There was a lot going against equity markets last year. In fact, at the forecast last year, everybody was negative. I was fairly positive. So the year had rising interest rates, inflation, Ukrainian-Russian stalemate, if you will, Israel responding to the October 7th terror attacks, China-Taiwan concerns, Red Sea missiles being launched, and anything moves along, and the usual division, acrimony, confusion in the U.S. political scene. In spite of all this, it was a very good year. Now, the large tech, and it was a very narrow base. You know, they refer to them as the Magnificent Seven, the Apples, the Meta, Microsoft, NVIDIA, Tesla, those sort of things. They actually dominated the market. The market itself was pretty bland, but that group of seven, more or less, really just pushed the indices to fairly decent levels. I mean, NASDAQ was up about 43%, the broader-based S&P about 24%, and of course, the old TSE lagging at about plus 8%. The theme of the year, most of the year, the markets languished. There was not much going on. It was the third quarter when the Federal Reserve Board indicated they may start to stop increasing rates and may start to reduce at some point in time. And that was the market. That made the year, basically. It's a little bit like flying, hours of boredom and moments of sheer terror. This is moments of opportunity. The third quarter made the year. And it was that central bank indication of a pause in increasing interest rates and inflation's easing. Clearly, interest rates are the determining factor in equity prices. So the question now, where to from here? Well, first off, again, taking a look at interest rates being critically important. I don't think they're going to go higher. That's a basic point. That's an easy get. They're certainly not going to go higher in an election year and possibly lower later in the year. But the point here is it doesn't matter. At the present time, markets and the economy have accommodated this current level of interest rates. So that's going to be a positive, at least a non-negative, but I think a positive later in the year. But inflation is still challenging. I mean, like it or not, inflation is a permanent fact of life. Those of us in the investment business, our job is to keep our clients ahead of inflation. Inflation is unending. And don't worry about the numbers the governments produce because they're all fudged. They don't count. But inflation is going to continue to be a factor because you've got government spending and deficits literally unending. But all of this notwithstanding, equity markets should have another good year, and rates being the key thing and growth in the U.S. economy. Now, I think the broader market's going to discount rate cuts. That might be a little bit optimistic. But again, I think 2023, what it showed us is another factor in 2023, is it showed us the resiliency of equity markets, particularly in Canada and in the United States. All this negativity, the markets still continue to move on. And that is, there is so much money out there looking for a home. And like it or not, that's going to continue to power markets, both public and private equity, by the way, which is a huge area now. So I think equity markets can disconnect even from a slowing economy in Europe, and possibly in the U.S. Not that I think it's going to be significantly slowing. Canada's a different matter, and I'll come to that in a moment. But I do think the amount of money is going to power these markets. I think the markets are going to move beyond the usual suspects. It'll move beyond the Magnificent Seven, and I think it'll broaden out to include what we call non-indexed companies, companies that are, right now, the focus is the big companies, but I think the mid caps and smaller caps are underpriced, and I think there's opportunity there. Politically, again, because you can't ignore that these days, it's such a major factor. I think people are now starting to focus on real issues, you know, deficits, inflation, increasing government intrusion, and these hobby horse issues, as I call them, you know, buying votes, the special interest groups. So that is a positive underlying markets. It may not be seen totally in this year, but it may be a trend over the next couple of years. I mean, by the way, there's an excellent speech by Javier Milei, the president of Argentina, at Davos at the Economic Forum. It's worthwhile taking a look at that. So hopefully there's a trend here to, I would say, greater adulthood in government, really. Hopefully that's a trend. Now, Canada is a special case, particularly with the great economy and equity markets. Capital market structures in Canada are quite interesting in that 80 to 90% of the Canadian equity market is dominated by bank-controlled firms. That means many junior and intermediate companies are just sidelines because compliance in these organizations will not allow investment advisors to go into this area. So the efficient market mechanism no longer exists. You have full valuations, you know, robust valuations in the main index-included companies that are included in their funds, but the other stuff, that just is not happening. Economic issues in Canada, you know, I keep thinking Canada should be, if we look at what we have here, it should be an energy powerhouse. It should be an entrepreneurial powerhouse. It should be a minerals powerhouse. It should be a manufacturing powerhouse. It should be a financial powerhouse. It should be a tech powerhouse. I mean, AI is really started and still centered around Toronto. It should be an attractive investment environment. The only way we get people to invest in these companies is we offer them billions of dollars to build a battery plant in Allison or someplace like that. We should be a voice in the world stage, you know, a reasonable mid-power voice that people used to listen. We are none of those things. And I look on Canada the way I look on investments. As if a company is not achieving its what it can do, it's not achieving its potential, there's only one over time. There's only one problem is management. So as a value investor, I look for challenges. I try to see if they can be fixed. And I think that's the case with Canada. You know, governments are fixated on buying votes, climate change, special interest groups, pleasing the World Economic Forum, that is post-nation state. Our leadership is, you know, trapped in that. It's not about economic development, job creation, solvency of a government, free enterprise. In fact, there's almost a war on enterprise, if you will, at all levels of government. Look at Toronto, a war on cars, that's a war on business. And Ontario, with regulations and federal, said enough about that. But any meaningful change in the government structures in Canada, I believe, will be like popping the cork in a bottle of champagne. There is tremendous potential in the Canadian market and the Canadian economy. And, you know, we have to get it. And, you know, we made a lot of money for our clients many years ago buying exchanges. As you know, we're significant investors in the Canadian Securities Exchange through Urbana Corporation. But we owned the New York Stock Exchange. And what made that a good investment, finally, it was a terrible investment, was a management change. And I think if we see that, that'll be the key in Canada, some kind of change. Now, it may not all be this year, but in the interim, our equity markets will be sort of dragged along by the U.S. And I think the broader opportunities in the U.S. does compel a focus in terms of investments in that direction. So I guess my best guess is broader markets this year probably be up by double digit. Bottom line, I think it's going to be a good year. The sectors that we like, financial services in the U.S., and including exchanges, by the way, the energy sector. Because a lot of this climate change initiative, we're way beyond our skis. This stuff is not doable now, period. And we just can't achieve these targets. It's the great academic exercise, and it's such a political football, nobody can say anything. But the real fact is, we're not going to get there. So energy is an interesting group for us. Industrials and construction, I mean, rebuild, engineering firms, we're seeing a lot of rebuilding of the United States, shortening supply lines, et cetera. Selected tech companies, and I think the Magnificent Seven will continue to do well because we in our industry we tend to overshoot in trends. We take everything to its illogical conclusion. So I think they still have some steam left to it, but it will broaden out. So it'll broaden out beyond the usual suspects. Real business numbers are going to be more important too. What are they in revenues? What are sales doing? Are we getting kind of results? Getting away from the euphoria and enthusiasm of quote a new thing. I do think focusing on the smaller and mid-caps will be of interest. I believe the orphans will catch up this year to some degree. Maybe not so much in Canada, but in the rest of the U.S., but I think we'll be dragged along with that. Bottom line, I think we're going to have a good year this year. I think my optimism has paid in the past. I think it will this one more year as well. So thank you. Have a great year. go make some money.